Hey, what's going on? I'm Ryan Bruchette.
And I'm Trent Martin.
And today we're doing a special one-off podcast for all of you Red Mountain Community Church parents out there who might have teenagers or preteens or about to head out the house, sort of 19, 20-year-olds. And we just want to have a conversation with Hallie Carl, who is with me. Hallie, say hello.
Hi.
And Dave Amy.
Hey. This is really awkward.
Yeah, it's okay. And the point of this is just to have a conversation about how to resource and give some hope and encouragement to parents during this COVID season and this weird season of school and early college. So, Trent, what do you think about this stuff so far?
It's just difficult for me as a married person with no kids.
Nice. That's not my single line, bro.
Ryan's single.
Yes.
We'll cut that out for Riley.
Good thing you got the marriage and family pastor here.
Yeah. I'm going to have to meet with Dave after this. We're actually hanging out tonight.
Yeah. Perfect.
But no, I think it's hard. It's hard as a person without children, and I can't imagine what it's like to throw children into the mix of just this chaos of workplace is weird. Life is just weird. And then dealing with the emotional turbulence that children are going through with school not being normal, and nothing's normal. So I imagine it'd be hard, and I do not envy it. So that is why we are doing this podcast, to kind of hopefully give some guidance and help.
Yeah, absolutely. So Hallie, how long have you been married, and how old are your kids?
Lee and I will be celebrating 24 years October. Ooh. Yeah, so it's the same as you, huh?
Years old.
And there it is. And then we have two boys. Isaiah is going to be 18 in November, and then Caleb is going to be 21 in December.
Baby, there
the
it is. Big 21. And Caleb's going off to Grand Canyon University here soon, right?
Yeah, he did his first 2 years at MCC, so he's transferring in and going to be moving out for the first time.
Amazing. Wow. And Zay is about to start his senior year, or has started his senior year.
Now he starts on Monday. Okay. Yep. He goes to Gilbert Christian. So they're meeting on campus starting Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wild. And Dave's here with us as well. Dave, how long have you been married, and how old are your kids?
We will be celebrating, Christina and I, 15 years in February. Nice. You can send us gifts if you'd like. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. And
he's not kidding.
We have a blended family. So Josh is 30. Mandy, I believe, is 25. I might be wrong about that, and I feel really bad because she's my favorite.
Sorry, Mandy.
And then we have Ethan, who is going is in eighth grade right now virtually, and he is 13. He's officially a teenager, and Bella is 10, and she's in fifth grade.
Nice. Is Bella doing school virtually as well?
She is. She is a virtual person.
Now. Oh, man.
So okay. Well, so we have our own little stations around the house for virtual school.
Nice.
It's quite the experience.
Sounds like it. Okay, so I'm just going to dive into some generic questions here, and this conversation will just go. Hopefully we don't talk your ears off, parents that are listening, but we do want this to be a free-flowing conversation to where you can feel heard in a bunch of different sides of the spectrum of how loosely to parent and how tightly you need to have some control on things. This is really just to help you feel like you can not be alone in this season. And so our first question for you guys, and let's have Dave, you can start us off, is what have you found to be life-giving and raising / relating with your, I guess, preteens and early teen during COVID?
Christina and I talked a little bit about this morning to prepare for this because she's the brains of the operation. But what's been probably most life-giving is being able to have a lot of conversations about the complexity of what's going on and not so much having answers for it. At first, we tried to fix everything, or we thought it was going to be over quick, and then it was like, oh, we're going to be in this for a minute. And so even this morning, given Ethan space to say he doesn't like virtual school and just sit with him in that and just be like, yeah, I know, buddy, this is rough. Like your teachers, this is hard on your teachers. It's hard on us as your parents. I know it's hard on you and your buddies and your friends and stuff. But then reminding him of where God meets him in that.
Yeah.
And so we've been able to have, so what's been life-giving is being able to have those God conversations amidst the chaos and mm-hmm. saying, hey, buddy, you know, who controls the wind and the waves? He's like,
that's good.
God. I'm like, you know, who brings the sun and the moon up every day? God. And I was like, what about your breath? Who gave you that breath today? Hmm. Well, God did. And I was like, now if God can do all those things, you think he can handle school? And he's like, yeah, I got this, Dad. So it was like, nice. So it's like, and I think God's providing those opportunities for us. But I think if we don't step back, we can miss those life-giving opportunities because we're just trying to, like, we're all just swimming in the ocean, you know, and trying to figure it out. But it's in those moments where we just kind of pause and be still and know that God is God and we're not. That so it's maybe just being present has been life-giving mm-hmm. for our kids. So I'll stop because Hallie's probably got a better answer.
I don't know. That was good. Yeah, I was good. Like, oh, shoot. I like that.
Yeah.
No, I think for me, and partly because I had a dawn of realization actually around December, so pre-COVID mess, that our lives were way too busy. And so I was like, we need to figure this out. But you're going along at 100 miles an hour, and it's hard to slow that train down. But when stay-at-home restrictions and everything hit mid-March, boom, all of a sudden, all this time.
Yeah.
And you had nowhere to go, and your kids couldn't go anywhere. Everybody was on lockdown. And so all of a sudden, there was this amazing just space. And to me, especially because I knew Caleb was going to be going off – that, you know, in the fall, or hopefully, I was thinking at that
right,
time.
Right.
You know, I just felt like I woke up every day thinking, God, that we had extra space.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to miss a minute of it because I think looking back in my parenting journey, I've been so concerned about the next thing that I often am missing the moment. And that's something, Dave, I think you and Christina do really well is capture moments with your kids. And so I was like, let's capture these moments better. And so we had a lot of time of like, especially when it was cool, when it got hot, it was kind of a bummer. But
for sure.
Sitting around outside, like maybe it would start with me sitting down outside and hanging out, and then Lee would, and then Caleb would see us, and then Isaiah would come, and then pretty soon we're like, well, let's play a game, or let's grill some food or whatever, and we're just chilling. And that was so – it's so life-giving and continues to be, that extra space.
Yeah.
And then as – life kind of got a little bit more back to normal where we're hanging out with people or whatnot. I love having their friends come over now because they have nothing, they can't go anywhere,
right.
Do anything. Yeah. So it's always chilling at someone's house. So I love having their friends over. And that's life giving to me. I like seeing their relationships. I like seeing their interactions and just having that be a part of our life is super cool. So.
Man, that's good. The slowdown piece and then the capturing the moments piece for me, I in my head try to my best to think about doing that with students when I see them or when we're all hanging out in a giant group and I just get a little moment, but it's got to feel sometimes a little bit hard, I think, if you're always living with your kids, because I don't have kids of my own. So picking those moments or getting those moments has to feel really nice when kind of God just lobs you up, even though Corona has not been an easy time. There's a lot of other things going on in our nation right now that make this really stressful. It does seem like there's a little bit of respite that God provided for some families that might've been going a little bit too hard. Yeah. Or like right now, what you're saying, Dave, is just my kid just needs to sit here and say, this is hard. And I need to be like, yeah, it is, but God's good and he's got it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Validating the emotion. That's what I like what you do with Ethan. You validated his emotions and then pointed him mm-hmm. towards God. So yeah, those are really good and helpful. And it's going to look different though for every family.
Right. Yeah,
so don't compare yourself to these super studs.
That's a good word.
And please understand, that's not every morning.
Like, yes, right. Yes. And we don't enjoy every moment. Yeah,
there are moments around the table where Bella's like, we have nothing to talk about because we are with each other 24/7. I was like, there we are.
Yeah, so. No, for sure. Please don't compare. Yeah.
So then, this is great. Transition. What have you found impossible? And I picked these words on purpose. Impossibly hard in raising / relating to your teens during COVID, or preteens, or out of the house teen is whatever.
Almost 21 teens,
teen something there. Yeah, 21 teen 20.
I didn't like your impossibly hard wording, and I wrote that down.
Nice.
Because I think when we look at something as impossibly hard, it means there's no solution. So to me, I was like, no, it's hard, but we can figure this out. Mm-hmm. So that was the optimist in me.
That's great. No, I wouldn't define whatever emotion was there. Yeah. And it looks like optimism has found you. Holly,
yeah,
so
it
amazing.
Tends to. But I think for me, everybody gets punchy, like, especially you're around each other way more than you normally ever would be.
Yep.
Not to mention just the stress of life right now. So especially with school starting and people having to do online school like your kids, Dave, or just the day in, day out of, hey, I used to actually go to the office every day and now I stay home, or whatever your situation is. Everybody's more punchy. We have a personal situation right now that's just hard. My mother-in-law has really bad dementia and is on hospice. And I think, like, the more that just tensions rise, the more you take that out on the people that are closest to you.
Right.
And those are, for you know, me, that's the three people in the Carl home other than me. And so I just think we have what that's given is many opportunities to confess sin to each other and try to lead in that too, and just say, like, hey, half hour ago, I was ugly and I did not mean to be ugly. Like, I let my frustration of my workday or just the stress of this week or whatever come out in the way I handled that. And so we have so many more opportunities to just be humble and confess our sin to one another and try to have some forgiveness. Sometimes it's easier than others, depending on how ugly you were. But to me, I'm like, that's just something that I think is really hard.
Yep.
Because it can be discouraging, but yet at the same time, it's a great opportunity. So
That's good. The spaces to just say sorry and ask for forgiveness. I think that's hard it's easy to say sorry, easier to say sorry than to say, hey, can you forgive me too?
Yeah.
And be specific about it, I guess. So that does sound exhausting, but also healthy in some ways to like establish that routine during this. Because, man, that sounds hard.
Hey, I wish I had established that routine when my kids were little. I was quicker to apologize. I think that I always thought that if I did that, I was admitting that I had failed. I mean, right? Sinned. You've sinned. And so, but the pride part kicks in. And so I would just not deal with it. And that was caustic to my heart, and I'm sure it was not helpful to my kids. So or sometimes too, just like, hey, are you okay? Like, you can just tell one of us isn't doing all right, and just asking, because it's just tough, right? It's tough right now. Right. So care for each other well.
Yeah. And to create an environment too where you as the parental unit are coming and asking for forgiveness creates probably an honest and open environment. And I think that's really key right now when emotions and tensions are so high in everyone's lives. We're all going to mess up. But if you as a parent set that practice, then that's huge.
Yeah, that's a really good answer. Now I got to think of something.
Sweet. No. I'm going to go first from now on, so you can always say that.
Yeah, a couple of things for us. I love that. I love the opportunity to practice confession and repentance in front of our children, so they grow up just with that being part of who they are. It's just so will help their marriages, will help when they're in the workplace. I mean, it just helps everything, all their relationships. So I love that, and we try to practice that, or Christina tries to remind me of that when my pride gets in the way, and it's like, well, I'm right. And it's like, no, you need to apologize. Okay, fine. So, but yeah, but it's so life-giving when we do that. What's some of the things that have been challenging or impossible or whatever is just navigating the new kind of structures in schedules of life with two people working in a home. I know not everybody has the flexibility that the home I grew up in did, where my dad worked but my mom didn't. So this COVID reality would have been easier for them, but I know a lot of families, both parents work.
Right.
And so Christina and I have, we're fortunate enough to have some flexibility in our scheduling with our jobs, but it's still a challenge. It's like, hey, who's on? It's like, I feel like we're playing a sport, you know, hey, who's got this? Who's got, and so just navigating that well has been a growth process, I think, for us as a family. Most of my texts from my son is, what are we having for lunch? And can we get this? Chick-fil-A? Can we get Chick-fil-A? So he's persistent. So, but even that's provided some neat opportunities. And even being able to read with Bella in the mornings, which was something that was total chaos when school was in session, was everybody in the car, you know, dad, we're going to be late, you know, we got to get in the line, you know, turn your radio down because don't embarrass me, you know.
Oh,
so,
wow.
But nice. It's just, she's part of the wrong family because that's my goal in life.
What music do you listen to?
What was so embarrassing?
Oh, that's another podcast, you guys. Ryan has a schedule. He wants to keep this good. No. But anywho, but yeah, but having those moments where Bella now comes to me and says, hey, dad, can we read, you know, for 20 minutes before school starts? It's like this precious moment that I get to have with my daughter that pre-COVID we didn't get to have. So sometimes those impossibilities turn into opportunities,
right,
which is pretty amazing. So that and just helping... My kids are very social, and so this has been really hard on them. So the impossibility of, like, community has been such a challenge for our family because we're trying to figure out how do we care best and how do we quarantine best and how do we – and it's like, man, I feel like whatever I do is wrong. And so – but then trying to lead my children in that. And so we've been a little bit more open in the way we've allowed our kids to engage with other kids. And but it's been amazingly life-giving to them to see them engage with one another and just see the joy that that produced has been awesome. So I don't know if that's the right thing to do, but I know God created us for community. And I just know everybody right now is so hungry for it, and we're all trying to figure out how to do it well. And there's so many unknowns, but I know personally, as we've stepped into that, it's been very life-giving for our children and for us to gather, as Hallie said earlier, with other believers. And it's just been good. It's just been, it just is like filling the cup up. So, but it is still a challenge, and it's, I wish I had a simple answer for a complex question.
No, it's not simple. So that's why, conversation. It's great. I love that you guys have a disposition of optimism. It helps me be less cynical. Something I'm working on in my life right now. This is cool.
So transition time. I'm curious, as I'm sure as our million of listeners are also curious.
Million.
But I know for me and Riley, it's been a struggle of... There's some nights where we do really good, where we feel like, oh, I really heard you, I listened to you, we cared for each other, we had a fun game night together, we did something intentional. And then there's other nights where it's just like, we just zoom through a Netflix show and then we go to bed and it was like, what happened? But how have you as parents kind of found the balance between that entertainment and intentionality? And like, is that even possible? Has it been possible? So I'll let Hallie go first.
Okay. And, you know, I think before I answer this too, I just want to like say or maybe reiterate, every family is so different. And like Dave and Christina, are Ethan and Bella's parents, and for a reason. And God gave Lee and I, Caleb and Isaiah. And so we all have different ways that we do things in our home. And just because we do one thing one way and the Amys do it a different way or whatever, that doesn't make one right and the other one wrong. And so when Ryan asked me to do this, I was like, are you sure you want me? Because Lee and I are pretty chill. And yep. He was like, well, that's why I want you, because you guys are pretty chill. And so this question, like I said, oof, was the first thing I wrote down when I saw this. Because, yeah, we've never been the parents that have put, like, limits on video games or anything. And so there's probably some parents right now that are like, well, that's terrible. And maybe it is, right? But we do try to make things like TV, movies, and gaming a family thing. So I'm, and hear me, this isn't always, but it's just like a practice. We do try to watch TV together. So we have some shows that we watch as a family. I have shows that I watch with just Caleb. I have shows that I watch with just Zay.
Nice.
Lee has shows he watches with the boys. Like, we all, so depending on who's home, yeah, we can be together and watch some shows. So we have things like that. And we did a lot of movie marathons in the beginning, and that actually brought on good conversation. On some of them, we watched a lot of war movies in the beginning of COVID. And that was some good conversations in our family. I like playing Smash Bros, and so we'll play some Smash.
I'm sorry, really quick. Hallie's really good.
What character do you use? Can I guess?
Yes, please guess.
I guess,
Ryan knows.
Kirby, no.
You are 100% correct.
Nice.
For all you parents.
I feel so exposed right now. Like, how did you possibly know okay. this about me?
I definitely didn't play Super Smash Bros. With Caleb this weekend.
Okay, yes.
And
we
talk
go.
About yeah. what character you play. There I didn't do go. That. That was okay. a great guess.
Yeah, it was such a great guess. I was like, woo.
Yeah, that's kind of spooky.
Yeah, I definitely play Kirby, and I love playing it. It was fun. But Lee will play Call of Duty with the boys. I didn't know what that was until that long ago.
The COD name,
but yeah,
it's true.
So, like, even if we're doing some of that, like, we try to be with them in some way. Now, again, please hear me. It's not always that way.
Sure.
Like, sometimes Lee will be in his garage. I'll be baking. Caleb will be on the couch marathoning The Office for the 1,000th time. And Zay will be playing Fortnite. So, like, I don't know. We just try to find balance in that without – we're just not – I don't know. And our kids are older. Like, Isaiah's old enough to decide if he wants to play video games or not, in my mind. And so, yeah. And of course, Caleb, he's an adult. He can do whatever he wants. And so, granted, we're his parents, he lives in our home, but like, that's not a place that we put a lot of tension with our kids, because I don't know. I feel like it's just not the battle that we choose to have be a thing. So, and actually, it can be a really good thing for our family too. So that's my answer. I'm passing the baton off to you now, Dave.
That was another good answer, Hallie.
Thanks.
Now I gotta think about it. It's so difficult doing these with Hallie. I think we're probably similar, a lot similar to the Carls in that. Early on, we just tried to figure out, again, we didn't know how long this thing was gonna last. So we put up a tent in our backyard, and we play like a movie in the tent.
Oh, that's cool.
And do a sleepover in the tent. You know, we built forts, which Christina was not happy about because it destroyed the house. But it was like, we were just trying to figure it out. When it came to video games, Ethan's a huge gamer. He's really good at it.
He can
play like Atari. My fingers, they can't do what kids' fingers can do today. So what I've learned as a dad that's not a gamer is part of it's just sitting with him and just watching him. The other neat thing that I think is just super cool is the way he can engage with his buddies.
Yeah.
So especially during quarantine where they couldn't, you know, be together, they were still able to have community through this gaming thing, which even though I don't understand the game, I just thought it was really cool. They all have their headsets on, and then they have like FaceTime things going, and it's like they're really loud, and it's hilarious. But but it was cool. It was kind of a neat thing. We're a bit real big movie family, and so not being able to go to movies anymore was a big bummer for us. Yeah. And so, but we try to kind of engage in those things, play games. We got a Nintendo Switch, so we could be more active in our gaming. So,
sweet.
If you guys ever want to come over and do like Let's Dance or things like that at our house,
feels
like
a good time. It's a solid no.
We are not good dancers. Well, I should guess I should speak for myself, but it's just a way to get the kids moving. And so we thought that might be a good idea. We actually even bought a puppy because we thought that would be a great idea, but that's another story for another podcast.
Another podcast.
That was
two podcasts deep now.
Yeah, a learning experience that we taught our kids a lot about disappointment and bandwidth and how you can end a marriage through a puppy. So again, it's a podcast for another time. But we were trying to be creative, right? We were trying to think of things like, oh, maybe a puppy would be great during quarantine. For some families, absolutely. For the Amys, absolutely not. So I think we just, like everybody else, we're just trying to sort it out.
Yeah.
We're trying things, you know. Does Ethan probably play games longer than he should? Probably, absolutely. But at the same time, we're trying to do like what Hallie's talking about, hey, engaging with them in those spaces. And we still have tried to go outside. Our kids hate hiking, but we drag them hiking anyway. We've gone to the river a few times. And so Ethan and I go biking sometimes when I can get him on the bike. But we try to go out to eat in the few places where you can go. So just to try to give them a taste of what used to be, because we don't really know what the new normal is going to be. So we're just trying to figure those things out. But I think, like Hallie said, every family's different.
Right.
And we're all trying to figure out what works in our home and in our space. And so sometimes we do really good, and sometimes it was like, oh, that was a disaster.
Yeah.
So there's lots of opportunity for grace. So that's all I got.
Yeah. No, I think it was good that you guys both hit that all families are different. But overarching theme that I heard from both you guys was that there are spaces that your child is already in that you can join in on, whether that's actively playing video games or just being with them, watching them play video games. There, you can get in your child's interest, and that's how you can kind of engage with them, especially in this weird time. That's so whatever great. That looks like for you and your family, that is possible.
Yeah. Good stuff, guys. Good stuff. This question might be a little bit vague, but I think that's part of the beauty of it is, in what ways have you seen God just show up unexpectedly? So we talked a little bit about the life-giving moments, but maybe let's put it more in the sense of, man, what's the Spirit doing, or what's like the grace of God teaching you? What sort of scriptures maybe have shown up, just to give us a little bit more of where we want to go with that question, but still very loosely, would love to hear how you guys have seen God show up unexpectedly.
Are we doing rock, paper, scissors?
Or? Yeah, who do you want? Who do you want to go?
I'm feeling like Dave and then Hallie.
Yeah.
All right.
Now I need this moment of brilliance. God showing up. God continues to show up like in amazing ways, and I think in many times it's in the smallest of things. I think, you know, we're going through Daniel right now, and we hear these epic stories of, like, you know, surviving a lion's den, and I think we all have our own lion's dens. They're just different. And so I think just surviving quarantine to this point is seeing God at work. One of my favorite passages that the Lord just continues to remind me of, and even one of our elders reminded us of this past week, is found in John, and it's John 16:33, and it's just one of my favorite passages, because, you know, Jesus is about to give his life for us. And what he says to his disciples in this intimate moment, as he says, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So I think in this time we're all looking for peace, and I think we can look for peace in the wrong places. I'm guilty of that. I like control. I like to fix things. And I think the Lord's taught me a lot about, hey, are you resting in me? Like, you know, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Dave is not God. And so that's helped me in those times of chaos, is to be reminded of who actually brings peace. You know, come to me, all you who are weary laden, and I will give you rest. Again, who gives us rest?
Yep.
Jesus has come to give us rest now and in the future. And then Tobin also reminded us, as he read through the priestly prayer in 17, of that none of this is a surprise to God.
Right.
And the fact that Jesus prayed for us to be in the world and not to take us out reminds me that we're to be a shining light in times of chaos, and that we shine brightest when we seek his kingdom over the kingdom of Dave, which again, I fall short in time and time again. And that's where I come back to Bob's famous saying of master the restart, where I confess of that. And it's like, no, seek first the kingdom, right? And all these things will be added unto you. And it's just a beautiful reminder of Matthew 6:33. And again, just, and it's this understanding too that, but it says, but take heart because I've overcome the world. It's the reminder that we know who the victor is. And, and I've said this before in some of the men's groups, that we fight from a place of victory and not for victory. And that's comforting to me because sometimes I feel like we're in this epic battle, and sometimes we forget who the enemy is and who actually wins. And so when I read passages, when I read, I find great comfort in Jesus's words of hope, of saying, hey, slow your roll. I got this. Trust me. Walk with me. It's not that it's going to be easy. It will be difficult, but I win. And so put your hope and faith in that. And I'm going to, you know, work this thing out. And so that's been life-giving, I think, for us as we try to step into that as a family, as I try to speak that over my kids, as I send them text messages before their day starts or throughout their day, just to encourage them. I'll send them out scriptures that have encouraged me with a couple little things. Sometimes I get emoji responses. Sometimes I get nothing, but sometimes we're able to talk about something as a family from the sermon as we watch it online or in person, depending on the dynamics of what we're doing. But God just continues to show up, and I think a lot of that is if we make space to be aware that he's there with us, because Jesus said that he would be with us to the ends of the age. And so for me, it's slowing down, as Hallie said earlier, and just being aware of where God is in those relationships, in those moments.
Right, the smaller things, like you were saying.
And for sure. So that's been kind of where I've seen God, is in the looking for him in those moments of conversation, of care, of opportunity, and being able to celebrate and worship with my brothers and sisters in Christ has just been awesome. So it's so life-giving to be able to gather together. It's amazing where God shows up in that. So I've already talked too much, so I'll pass to Hallie for the real answer.
Thank you.
No, that was actually much more spiritual than I think mine will be. It was really, really good. I think one of the coolest parts for me with this season is just the age my kids are. So they're older, and they're super fun to just talk to, because you're not talking about kid stuff anymore. Like it's big stuff, and we've had some big stuff happen in our country in the last couple of months. And
really,
yeah, we have, Ryan. I'm not sure you're up to date.
I had no idea.
I know. I'm gonna teach you some stuff right now.
Oh, great.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding. But and honestly, Ryan, you had a post after George Floyd had been killed, and you said on Facebook, "What if it had been me?" Mm-hmm. And I remember that moment distinctly, just having that spark such a good conversation with our family, which has led to so many conversations.
Yeah.
Just in topics of talking about racism and social mm-hmm. justice mm-hmm. and politics and violence and all of it. And where God is in the midst of all of it, and how do we as the church react in these times, and helping to first of all, just to watch my kids formulate their own opinions has been just so, so cool. And that's God to me, just them listening to the Spirit and yet still listening and learning. Like mm-hmm. there's been a lot of moments where one of us will say something and then come along afterwards, and then I'll hear them repeat that to someone else. and they maybe didn't, one of us didn't like it when we heard it the first time, but then we're like, oh, shoot, that's probably true. And there's been so many of those moments. And then in that too, because these things are divisive, and there is this weird division line that has occurred. I shouldn't say a weird division line. It's always been it's there. And in that, like, how do we care well for the people that have the other opinion? So, so that's been, a huge conversation, off and on. I had a moment where I was really, really discouraged one day, and I came home from work, and I had actually cried on the way home. I know you're all shocked that I was emotional. And and Lee was out of town, and Zay, I think, was playing some Fortnite. But Caleb was in his room, and I went in, and he was like, oh, like, what is going on? And I just shared with him, and he spoke truth over me. And it wasn't the truth of Caleb. The Spirit used him in that moment. Yeah. And so those things, they're just so cool. And Isaiah's had some really neat moments as he's talked to people about different things that he feels passionately about. Yeah. And I just, like, I don't know why that seems like an unexpected way that God shows up, because it's like, that's what God is in the business of doing. Yes. He changes hearts and he moves people. And so being able to see that stuff in my kids, that's just so life-giving. I can't even, and we need that right now, right? So, like, for me, to sum all that up is just a passage that Ryan, you and I have been looking at since we went to Kenya.
100%.
Colossians 3:12-17, which I don't want to read the whole thing because it's a little long, but I do want to start it off, which is, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Amen. And if there is anything that I feel like the church needs to grip right now, it's the truth of that passage. Like, it doesn't matter if you and I have different opinions on any of this stuff. I mean, it does matter. I shouldn't say it that way. But the heart of it is, can we care for each other well in that? Can we listen to each other well? Can we love each other well? And so being able to see my kids formulate all of those things, and granted, none of us are doing this well, right? We're all failing in it, and we've all got room to grow. But that's just been, like, for me, one of the coolest things over this really, really difficult season. And it was unexpected, and even just kind of moments. And I had shared this with you, Ryan, but when our lockdown happened during the looting, and Zay was over at the Howards, and it was past curfew, and Lee was like, hey, shouldn't he be coming home? And I was like, yeah, he should. So I called him, and Zay, because he's 17 years old, was like, well, I think when we are at someone's house, we can go from house to house, and that's fine. And I was like, all right, I don't, whatever, sounds good to me. And then Lee said to me, you know, Hallie, if we were a Black family, we would have made Isaiah come home. And that was just like this moment that spurred again another amazing conversation of just what it's like to live even where we live.
Right.
And yet at the same time recognizing some stuff about our life. So for me, I God has been so awesome lately. So, so cool. Love it.
Yeah, that's so good. I think two things I want to commend both of you guys on is engaging. Here's the reality. We're in this COVID season. On top of that, we've got so much media and so many hard things happening in our nation and so many opinions trying to be formed. You guys actively taking shape and helping kids hear what's happening, formulate opinions, and then trying to be compassionate and sitting them with that. That's something I wish my parents would have done with me. And I do believe the Lord has that for everybody that, like, I don't want to challenge parents too hard here. And I know I don't have kids of my own yet, but if you're hearing any sort of nudge from the Spirit that maybe it's time to step into some more of those thicker conversations happening around our country, as you have this space while kids are doing virtual school or while they're forming opinions, now's the time. The Lord really wants to help us put on compassion and help us have the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. That is something that's happening right now. And I believe that the opportunity is golden. So,
yeah. And I think for some people too, some parents probably haven't had those unexpected moments. Mm-hmm. It's just been chaos. And yeah. So I think it's so important to hear how the Amys and Carls have just had those moments to know that God is faithful.
Right.
Even that's the important part of testimony, right? As we hear how God is working in our communities. And so even if you have not experienced that unexpected moment yet, our Lord is faithful. And I am positive there will be something in this COVID time as a parent that is going to be unexpected and good.
Yeah.
And I want to bring it back down to reality. Like literally Lee and I binge watched a show for 2 days straight this last weekend. So like, I don't want you to think that like we are these hyper spiritual, always having these amazing conversations. Like there, it's not that way. Like there's a lot of times that there's literally nothing fruitful that's happening. And so, I feel like I need to say that 50 times because if you had a lens into my home, you'd be like, I don't know that I'm seeing what you're talking about right now, because they're just special moments that pop up here and there. So the day in, day out, it's hard and we get it. We definitely get it.
Well, thanks guys. This is almost our time here. One thing I want to just ask really quickly, and I didn't prepare you guys for this, but it's this, if you had any encouragement, you guys have you guys both have homes where there's two parents, that are together.
Yeah.
And for a lot of our parents, even maybe listening to this, it's a single parent home. It might just be one mom or one father and maybe multiple kids. What encouragement would you have for them as they're listening, to this right now?
Well, to speak into that, I think the reality of it is they're going to feel alone, but God is with them. But at the same time, reach out to the community that God has provided for you. Again, we are the way we are because we've had communities help shape us and continue to care for us. We don't do this alone. And the only things we do right is usually when we're surrounded by other believers that walk with us in it, that help us reshape our thinking. And so don't feel, if you're feeling burdened or overwhelmed, please reach out because we want to walk with you in that. And we understand that the dynamic is so different and so much more of a challenge. And I can't imagine what it would be like to try to manage and survive without Christina. Yep. And so I guess my encouragement would to be, one is God is with you, and two, his family's with you, which is all of us. And so, and that's also a call to us also to reach out. Uh-huh. It's not a one-way street, right? It goes both ways. And so we know that exists within our community here at Red Mountain Community Church. And so let's look for ways to care for those families where this could just be 100 times harder, and be those hands and feet of Jesus, and invite them into that space. And I know we continue to look for those ways, even as leadership, as how to care for families amidst even virtual school, with working families. And our hope is that we can find ways being guided by the Spirit to step into those gaps. to the best of our ability.
Yeah.
It's great.
No, yeah. I mean, we went from being a community that saw each other, you know, at least a couple times a month, if not more, to some of us not seeing each other at all for 6 months. Right. And that's not normal, and it's not healthy. it really isn't. And so I think that the enemy has definitely used isolation and loneliness and has really gripped it in such a way that it's so, when you feel like you're all alone, mm-hmm. and that's where the lies of hopelessness and just, I don't know, just the sad, hard things. It makes me just break thinking about that. So I echo Dave of like reaching out to your community. And even if you don't feel like you have it, email a pastor that you maybe have even like said one word to before, or mm-hmm. even if you haven't and you think, oh, that pastor seems like they'd be chill, then ask like them to coffee. Yeah, Trent's super chill. And get to just say, hey, can we hang out? Mm-hmm. And we would love to do that. When I get those emails, it is just like, honestly, it's so, so beautiful and wonderful. So reach out to your friends. You're not alone. There are people that want to walk with you. My best friend is a single mom, and she works full time, really, really hard job. And she has a really good support system in her family, but even that isn't enough right now. Right. And yeah. So that's just the thing. I don't let the evil one or the enemy make you believe that you are isolated. That's what we're here for. That's what the church is wanting to be for you, is just your family and come alongside you. So.
Yeah, that's good. And I'd say if you're a parent listening, it's okay to not be okay. And it's okay. Yes. To ask for help. Me and Ryan, specifically student ministry, want to partner with you guys.
100%.
So if you ever just want to pop in or ask for ways that we can mobilize the community to help you and your family, we're here for that. But yeah, so this is great. I want to thank Hallie for her wonderful answers, Dave for his more mediocre ones. But
somebody's going to set the bar low.
You set the bar really low for Hallie, and she just flew over it.
We're a good team that way. You know, pastors try to help each other out.
Yeah. We do. Right. We do.
But yeah, thanks for your guys' time. And we hope this has been a good resource for you parents. And go ahead and share it if you want to other parents. And yeah, I don't know how to wrap this up. So this is me wrapping it up.
All right. Thanks so much, guys. And thanks for listening. We'll see you later.